Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
I'm excited. Out of all the places in the world you could be, you could be in the best hospital in the state of Missouri or wherever you're watching. You could have your private room. You could have Jell-O brought to you every 3 hours. Come on, they could come back and check your blood pressure every hour on the hour. But guess what? You got to be in the house of God tonight. Aren't you glad of that? Unreal. Let's make some confessions. Shout, I'm an overcomer. Something good is about to happen to me. Now laugh a little. Ha, 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 ha. Love it. I want you to go with me, if you will, and probably I've got so many different things I want to share with you, but I guess what the part of the reason why we cut it just a little short just now is I was at home a while ago. I went home from the office, and I just started praying a little bit, and God gave me a word. I had a sermon I prepared today and had a great sermon. I liked it, had all the jokes at the right places, and I know how to build a sermon. How many of y'all raise your hand if you know I know how to build a sermon? The three of you guys, and that's good that you know that I know. But then there's times where God will interrupt and he will just stop it and give you a word. And so here is, if I had a title, and I don't, but I would just say that tonight I sense that some people are under supernatural discouragement. You're just under supernatural discouragement. And we're going to fix that tonight. We're going to get rid of that tonight. That's going to be over tonight. Tonight, you're moving forward. Somebody ought to shout amen. Into a new dimension, a new anointing, a new power, a new glory. But you can be under a supernatural attack by the enemy, and the enemy just tries to wear you down. You ever been in a situation like, you might not be there tonight, but you've been there where you're just like, man, I'm tired of this. I'm just about to cry, and I don't know. Why? Come to find out, you were just hungry. Supernatural discouragement. I think first we ought to go here to 1 Peter, and I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified all night tonight. And in 1 Peter, we will look at verse, for the sake of time, chapter 4, verse 15. It says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or thief. Everybody shout, I don't want to do that. Or a mischief maker or meddler in affairs of others, imagining right, but one who's ill-treated, suffering for Christ. He goes through this whole passage talking a lot about, and we know another passage that he in the First Peter that he shared. He said that the enemy comes in, and he said for you and I to be sober minded, understanding that sometimes we can think that things are worse than they are in our situation until you see somebody that has a greater problem than you. In fact, I was with a guy about a week or so ago, and I didn't know that the guy had prosthetic legs. He just looked, you know, like he had regular legs to me. But how many of y'all know it's awkward when all of a sudden you're kind of being lazy and this person's working out like crazy and they're kicking your butt and come to find out they didn't even have real legs? I'm going to try it over here. Anybody over here, you were hurting because your knee was hurting. And so he's talking about this in here, and he says to be sober-minded. And I want you to go to Ephesians 6 because we're going to deal with this for a minute about being sober-minded, not overreacting to little problems. You're not a murderer, most of you. You're not up for, come on, somebody ought to say, man, it scared me there. I'm like, we got a lot of murderers, and we probably do. Not everybody confesses to that. In fact, if you are a murderer, a friend of mine told me, he's a cop, he said the best way to get it by with murder is to not tell anyone. So I understand you're not confessing to this. Ephesians 6. So you're not a murderer. You're not going through something that's like overwhelming beyond your ability to handle it. This time of the year, we know statistically that a lot of people are overcome with pressures and troubles and trials, and they get depressed and they just do stupid stuff. Number one, suicide is never an answer to anything. You might be going, why are you talking about that? Because loads of people do it. I mean, I had somebody last week here at the church who just started coming that committed suicide. That is just so not cool, okay? We're here, you're here, nothing's that bad. You're not a murderer, you're not a whatever the devil says you are. You're an overcomer, and you're going to come out. This is a supernatural attack by the enemy, and it's going to be okay. So Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty, that you keep alert. Everybody shout, keep alert.
Keep alert.
With a strong purpose and perseverance and interceding on the behalf of the saints. Be on alert. And pray also for me that freedom and utterance may be given, that I may open my mouth and proclaim boldly the mysteries of the good news of God. So tonight I'm going to proclaim to you online and you here the mysteries of God. Let's go back up to verse 12, 6 and 12. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. It's good to know what you're not wrestling with, right? Supernatural depression, supernatural discouragement. For we are not wrestling. Here's what we're not wrestling with. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but we are wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places and wicked spirits and heavenly supernatural spirit. Therefore, put on God's complete armor. Everybody shout, put on the armor of God. Now, the first thing we must do to overcome discouragement is put on the helmet of salvation. He goes to list this armor here. Put on the complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand in the evil day of danger. Having done all to stand, stand firm. Stand therefore, hold your ground. Everybody shout, hold your ground.
Hold your ground.
Tighten up your belt of truth around your loins, putting on the breastplate of integrity, right standing with God, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having a firm-footed stability, readiness produced by good news. Lift up over your eyes the shield of faith, that you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Now we're back to verse 18. Pray at all times. We were there a minute ago. Pray at all times. Now, well, the first thing I think we need to do oftentimes is the enemy works within our mind. How many of y'all have a mind? Raise your hand if you got a mind. How many of y'all, it's not a big mind, but you got a mind, okay? So you got a mind. How many would agree that most of the problems that we have really are a problem in our mind? We have these negative thoughts. Negative thoughts, where the mind goes, the man follows. So the first thing God says to do is we're supposed to put on the helmet of salvation. We're supposed to say, I'm saved, so I'm putting the helmet over my head. How do I do that? You just say, God, I thank you that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God, I'm going to the house of God. I'm praising you tonight. I'm worshiping you. And what you're doing is you're putting on that helmet of salvation, reminding yourself, so you can remind Mr. Devil, you're reminding yourself that you're an overcomer, that good's going to happen to you, that this situation came to pass, that God's going to work it all out for your good, and the enemy cannot maintain an attack, but he can make you think it's going to go on for a long time, and that brings you down. And then you start getting depressed, and then you start thinking all the negative thoughts that you should not be thinking, and therefore you live a defeated life. So when the enemy comes, one of the first things that I do is I bring out my, this is just the most phenomenal tool in the whole wide world. I don't know how anybody could live without a smartphone. But right here, I have my podcast up, and I have all my favorite, you know, three or four people that I listen to. And so today I was listening to Brian Houston, in Jesus' name. And you listen to Brian preach in Jesus' name. And so, you know, I sit there and I lift myself up. What was I doing? I put my helmet on because I had, and you have, fiery darts, we just read it, missiles that are going to you, shoo, discouragement, shoo, you're fat, shoo, you're ugly. When the devil tells you, you know, hey, you know what, you're fat, you just look at him and say, you're ugly, I can lose weight, okay? Okay, so you just, shoo. And so the devil sends all these missiles to your head. You got to keep that thing over your head so you don't go crazy, because your best life and your blessed life is out ahead of you, but it starts in your head so you can get ahead. But don't think I'm always going to be overweight. I'm never going to have enough money. It seems like I'm just depressed. You cannot do that any longer. You're not wrestling. Everybody shout, I'm not wrestling with regular problems. I think the Bible is proving to me I've got some supernatural help here. But how many of y'all know that supernatural help that comes from God is way bigger than supernatural help that comes from the devil? Huh? Can I get an amen on that right there? Pray at all times. Verse 18 again. Pray at all times, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer. Prayer. The Bible says in various places, and I want you to go to Daniel chapter 10 with me, he said to pray always in the Spirit. Praying, praying, pray at all times. David said this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Notice he didn't say negativity is going to be in my mouth. I can't. I never. Seems like it's never going to turn around. No, no, no. His praise shall continually. See, when you're a faith person and the enemy comes at you, you start praising God. And if you really mean it, within a few minutes, the devil goes, just forget it. They must go to the faith church. You know what? I'm just going to go somewhere else where somebody else don't have their helmet on. They don't know how to use their sword. See, if you knock at my door, I'm going to answer it. In the middle of the night, if there's a bang, I told you the story the other night. They were banging on my door at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I met them with a shotgun. People, you believe in guns? Oh, lots of them, loads of them. Any kind of gun you can imagine, I got guns. If I was afraid they're going to outlaw some guns, I'd go buy extra guns. I love guns. I got guns, guns, because bad people have guns. So if bad people have guns, then I know gun lovers and people. Gun lovers are loving me, and the tree huggers are hating me. But I'm telling you, I love guns. I love guns. If you shoot me, I'll shoot you back. But I'm not going to the door unarmed. Just shoot me. Uh-uh. Not if I get you first. I'll shoot you in the leg so we can talk about it. But I'm just going to let you shoot me. But the devil comes and he's shooting these fiery arrows, but you are armed with the spirit of truth. You are armed with the spirit of faith. And this enemy that's coming to you, it's no match for you. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So get out your gun tonight. Shoot off your mouth tonight. Come on. And let God do what he needs to do in your life. Oh, man, I'm a good preacher. Lord. Wow. Daniel chapter 10. If you don't toot your own horn, you don't know it's been tooted, you know. But if you just do it yourself, then it's done. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel's son. Verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 whole weeks. I ate no pleasant food or desirable meat and wine. Didn't come near my mouth. I didn't anoint myself. How many of y'all know if you don't shower for 4 weeks, there's going to be all kinds of devils after you? I'm going to try it over here. Those people over there are scaring me right now. They're like, shower every 3 weeks. So he didn't anoint himself? What? For 3 full weeks? And on the 24th day of the first month, I was on the bank of the great river, and I lifted up my eyes, and I looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with pure gold, and his body was like that of a berry, and his face appeared like lightning, and his eyes were flaming torches, and his arms and his feet were glowing like bronze, and the sound of his words were like the noise of a multitude of people roaring of the sea. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision of the heavenly being. For the men who were with me did not see the vision. Everybody shout, not everybody's going to see this. In other words, Daniel has this experience and this heavenly being comes to him. He's been under attack for week after week after week. And all of a sudden, God or an angel of God shows up. Nobody else around him could see it. I'm telling you right now, look at me just for a second. A lot of people don't understand the supernatural power that God has. Okay, so let me set up a couple things first before we go deeper in this. Number one, God is bigger than the devil. We're not even talking close, Arden, are we? We're not even talking like, boy, it's really close. Like it's, no, we're talking like Pee Wee Herman meets who? Who's really big? Hercules. No, it isn't even like that. It's a baby in the nursery meets Sylvester Stallone in the latest movie that he just did a movie. This isn't even a close match. Okay, let me tell you something else that the devil is. The devil is not the one that if you Google the devil and he has a little pitchfork in his hand, he's got little horns on his head, and he just looks like a little, that's not the devil. Devil doesn't look like that at all. That's a Google search of the devil. Some of y'all like, I know what the devil looks like. He's sitting next to me right now. He might be acting like the devil, but he is not the devil, okay? So we're dealing with here this supernatural world. So Daniel sees in the world of the spirit, and I want you to see in the world of the spirit, okay? There is a big God, and he's bigger than this attack. And I'm also here to tell you part of the reason why you're being attacked Is you're some of the crazy people who went to church on a Tuesday night when there is also an additional service scheduled. Okay, there's an additional service scheduled for Christmas Eve. How many of you were aware that there's one scheduled for Christmas Eve? How many of you guys plan on being at one of those services anyway? Okay, so what is your deal? Why in the world would you come, Rhonda? Why would you come on Sunday and you come on Tuesday and then come on Thursday? I don't get you, Rhonda. You're not normal. Why would you do that, Bob? Why would you do that, dog? Because people that see in the Spirit realizes that it's not a Christmas thing and it's not an Easter thing. It's a Jesus thing and it's a 24-hour-a-day thing and it's a 7-day-a-week thing. Somebody ought to understand what I'm saying. And people are struggling and we are the church. We're not here to play religious. I've got to be so careful because I have so many thoughts. And I'm trying to filter them. But I just don't play church well. I don't like religious, it's, Christmas time, so we're going to do. I'm here to tell you that we're here as a Holy Ghost hospital to let you know that it's going to be okay and let you know that God's still on the throne, huh? And it's cute that you want to know about Herod. If you want to know about Herod, Google it. But if you want to know about God and the supernatural things of God, go ahead and be those crazy people who say, I know I'm coming to church on Thursday, but I'm also going to go to church on Tuesday, huh? And I know I'm going to go to church on Thursday, but I am going to go to church on Sunday. Can I get some wild people in here tonight to help me? So you're seeing things. Everybody shout, I'm seeing things that other people don't see. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Okay, thank you. Zechariah 7 again. I, Daniel, saw this heavenly being. The men that were with me did not see it. So I was left alone, and I saw this great vision and had no strength left in me. For the fresh appearance was on him, and I grew weak with fright. And then I heard a sound of the words, and I heard the sound of his words, and I fell on my face in a deep sleep. And I sunk to the ground. In verse 12, check this out. Then said to me the Spirit, some say God, some say an angel from the Lord, said, fear not. Everybody shout, fear not.
Fear not.
Shout it again like you had breakfast. Why?
Fear not.
Fear not, Daniel. From the first day that you set your mind and your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come as a consequence and a response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Now let me help you understand this. This is so cool. He's going through 21 days of hell. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm so depressed. I'm just going to stay home, and I'm not going to shower. And I'm just going to watch church online. I'm talking to you, and you smell horrible right now. And you didn't want to brush your teeth and you didn't want to comb your hair because you're just so down and depressed. Okay, then all of a sudden, God shows up. God comes through this angel and says, I'm here as a consequence. I'm here as a consequence of your prayer. I'm here because you called. I'm here because the first day you prayed, I heard about it. Come here, I want you to help me. Come here, sir. Yeah, if you don't mind. Maybe Jalen, you're a nice size. Come here. So Jalen is going to try to get through you. Just for a second. Now, there's a size difference here. You didn't know. Okay? I don't want to hurt your glasses. Maybe put them on or whatever. And we're not really going to fight. Don't hurt Jalen. But I'm just telling you that how many of y'all think if he's going to try to, if I tell you, Jalen, please, I need him to go off the stage. Okay? So try to see if you can get him. How many of y'all know we're going to have a problem for 21 days? It's just not a good, how many of y'all understand, if this was really going down like Donkey Kong, Jalen's better call 911. This is a problem. So this is what was happening. He said, I heard your prayer. I heard what you wanted to do. Stand over there just a little bit. I was trying to get to you. I was trying to get your breakthrough to you, but I had to wrestle this giant of a hunk of a man, who, by the way, is single looking for a woman with a job. So I... Oh, no, okay, you're not. Okay,
Sorry. I thought it was him. The Lord did a miracle. Last time I saw him, he was single. You ought to come to church. Don't try datamate.com. Come to faithchurch.com and get your thing on. Okay, so you got a problem, okay? So God, he heard your prayer the day you prayed, but the enemy came in and tried to resist you, and he blocked you. But then all of a sudden, if you don't grow weary in well-doing, and you realize that you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, you're dealing with the devil here. Eventually, the devil can't stay focused long enough. Eventually, he will get distracted. He will get out of your way, and then he will go, hey, I'm here now. It took me a while. Boy, you smell funky, though. You ain't showered 3 weeks. You've been depressed for a while now. You should have been putting on your cologne. Somebody ought to say amen up in here tonight. So don't get depressed and stay down in the dumps and eat worms. Know that there's a devil that has been blocking you, but God is bigger than the devil, and that the spirit of discouragement has to go. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having your loins girt about with truth, having on your breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you fight the good fight of faith, and you just keep on saying, I walk by faith and not by sight. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. I'm taking a bath tonight. I'm anointing my head with oil. I'm coming out strong. I'm coming out healed. I'm coming out delivered. I'm coming out rich. I'm coming out blessed. I'm coming out favored. Woo!
You can be seated. I apologize for getting so excited. Crystal, can I get some water? Crystal's one of the best things that ever happened to Faith Church. Give it up for Crystal. It's just kind of nice to know that it was the devil the whole time. You thought it was Shaquita. You thought it was Billy Bob, Billy Ray. You thought it was Bubba and them. It was a devil. And he was trying to get you to get depressed and get you saying stupid stuff so the sword of the Spirit didn't come out. You're just... I don't know how much more I can take. Anybody be honest with me? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you ever got messed up, you got so depressed, you started crying, and you just got alone in the bathroom and started crying, and you just looked how horrible you looked. You're like, ah! 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 Thank you, ma'am. Me and you. Just you and I. It's a devil. Verse 12. Then he said, fear not, Daniel. For the first day you set your mind and heart to understand and humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I've come as a consequence in response to your words. So apparently our words make heaven respond or make devils respond. When you say, I can't, devils respond. When you say, I can, who responds? You're smart. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. 21 days. It's a while. Now, here's some practical things that you can do. Believe it or not, I'm 24 minutes into a sermon. Good news is I cut worship by 15, so you get a bonus. Merry Christmas. Sometimes it takes a while to get the devil peeling off your brain. Went to my dad's house one day. Great man of God, loved the Lord, but he suffered with anxiety. It's a real issue. Depression, real issue. Xanax, Prozac. Anybody ever heard of that stuff? Xanax and Prozac? He's on that. Preacher, love God. Also raised Pentecostal, so they frowned on that. No, they didn't frown on that. They said, something's wrong with you. But you know, you can be sick and need amoxicillin, and you can be sick and need Xanax. I'm not against that. I don't like you to be on it forever, but if you need to be on it for a while, till we get this devil off you, it's okay. Don't let anybody condemn you or beat you down. But also, if you just messed up emotionally and your hormones are messed up and you got some chemical imbalances, let's get some doctors around you that can help get that all right, and so you can get yourself strong again. You won't always be this way, and that's really what I want to tell you. Nothing's ever going to be this way forever. Even you being cute ain't going to be this way forever. You know who they are. They're walking church all ripped up. Look at me. You ain't had no children. Guys walk in, they got the six-pack abs. You ain't got no job. You got a job, you get hungry. Can I get an amen? You need some carbs. Can I get an amen for some carbs? You ever been so hungry you went in and you just started grabbing stuff out of your refrigerator? You didn't even know what was gone until the whole bag of Doritos was gone. So, my dad couldn't understand. He was beat down. So then the enemy would come in and would stand up. So he'd pray a prayer, God, help me, deliver me, set me free. God, I don't want to be this way. But then he was alone with his thoughts. Notice when Daniel got alone, the Lord, or an angel of the Lord, came and visited him. And he said, hey, listen here. Woo, and he could see it. See, that's why you want to go to church. And I ask you the question, why would you come on Tuesday night? Why would you come on Thursday night? Well, I don't know what you're going through, but you need to come to church multiple times a week because, one, it honors God, and, two, it'll set you free, and, three, you won't be on medicine the rest of your life. Come on now. This is a Holy Ghost hospital, both here in Florida. That's what we do. So I want you to get better. So when Daniel was alone with his thought, it was different than my dad being alone with his thoughts. He would tell me sometimes in the middle of the night when he first started having these anxiety disorders, I'll say, son, I just got married. Would you please pray for me? Please pray for me. This is a cop. I've seen him get shot, didn't cry. Right here, boom. I've seen him shoot people. He's a tough guy, but this just overwhelmed him. He was alone with his thoughts, and it had been so long, and he's so tired, and he was so run down, he got just emotionally burnt out. But what do you do when you're in a situation like that? You need proper training. So the reason why I could carry, like my dad's budget, it wasn't the same as mine. How can you understand pastoring a church of 180 people and 18,000, we'd be different? So my dad, like, he had to have, you know, like $800,000 a year. I have to have $10 million a year. Different, right? It's a different world. Plus, back then, it was different even than it is now as far as what you can say and what you can do and what people. Sometimes I'm up here preaching and I can feel a spirit of political correctness coming. Can't say that. You can't. I'm like, wait a minute. I just want everybody to know here tonight, and I said this on Sunday. I think it's cute, the little bumper sticker that says, can't we all coexist? I think that's the cutest thing in the world. Isn't that so cute? It's cute, but we can't. So even here, I felt it again. You're like, now, I'm saying be nice to everybody. Christians don't want to kill people, but some religions do want to kill people. And you got to understand, okay, forget killing down here. Let's just talk about at the end game. End game. There's an end game for you. Maybe tomorrow for you. Depends on how many jumbo jacks you ate. Or no matter what. The Bible says, the appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. At some point, you will stand before God. You can have the little bumper sticker on your little car. It says, can't we all coexist? And Jesus will go, not up here you can. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the lamb that was slain from the beginning of time. I am the great I am. Now see, some of y'all still ain't clapping because you're like, I'm just telling you, You're going to believe me. Oh, you're going to believe me. Okay? So why do you say that? Because if we don't, we will have a church full of political correctness that will totally eat itself alive, and I won't be able to tell you that right is right, that wrong is wrong, and that the Bible is the book for us, and it's the only thing that holds the church together is the principles of the Bible, the Word of Jesus. I don't think I agree with that. Well, don't. He's like, you're not going to live in my house. It's just not an option for you. Yeah, I love you, and you come here, but you ain't living with me. You wouldn't even like it, because some of you don't even like me now. You wouldn't like living with me. So when you get to heaven, since it's God's house, not everybody's going to live with God. Because if he let everybody in, it wouldn't be heaven. It'd be hell. Merry Christmas. Don't you wish I'd tell you about the three wise men? Virgin birth. Can't we just, yeah. I'll do that Thursday. But right now, I'm pushing against the devil that's been pushing against you, and we're going to attack this thing, and we're coming out blessed, healed, delivered. You're going to get married again. You're going to love again. Life's going to be good again. So back to my dad. I went over there on a Monday one day. He was so down. He was alone with his thoughts. He was emotionally exhausted from the weekend. He had preached his guts out. He was so tired. And he was beat down. And I just went over there being my little silly self. Can you imagine me being your son? Some of y'all are like, no, I can't. Yeah, I'm that kid. So I'm making him feel better. As a result, here's what actually happened to my dad. And I didn't know it at the time. But over my lifetime, now that I'm older now, my dad actually became codependent on me. He always wanted to be with me because I was kind of his medicine. When really all I really was joy. A merry heart does good like a medicine. So he was kind of codependent on me, but I'm a poor person for you to be codependent on. What he should have been codependent on was, I'm wrestling against flesh and blood, and I'm coming out strong, and these negative thoughts that are coming against me, these are not my thoughts, because he got to thinking something's wrong with me. If you sit around thinking something's wrong with you, something's wrong with me. Nobody ever liked me. Why was I always alone as a kid? Nobody ever picked me on the baseball team. When they called Red Rover, bring David over, they never did. Well, it might have been you were slow. I was slow. They didn't want me on Red Rover. But if you get alone with the negative thoughts, the enemy will say, yeah, there's something wrong with you. And you internalize, check this out, internal lies. Instead of eternalizing, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, yeah. Philemon 1. I'm going to acknowledge every good gift is in me. I'm not going to acknowledge negative gifts. So if I have anything negative, I'm just not even going to acknowledge it. I have negativities. I've got a receding hairline. Not going to acknowledge it. Somebody told me the other day, you got a huge forehead. No problem. I wanted to say, and you have no brains. I mean, this is amazing combat. I mean, look at you. You got big ears. Better to hear you with, my dear. You got big teeth. Oh, man, you ought to see me eat corn on the cob. It's unbelievable. There's not anything left. You got one tooth. It's really neat when you eat. It's like Morse code on a corn cob. It's like, oh, look, what's he trying to say right there? What's he trying to say? Acknowledge good. See the good in you. Don't see the bad. Almost everybody's laughing now. Even the people were there a while ago like, I think we ought to all coexist. And you're like, ha, 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 ha. This is good for you. Laugh a little. Enjoy life. It's going to pass. Don't be alone with your thoughts. No, your thoughts didn't come to you. They came to you, but it was the devil that brought them to you. So put your helmet on and say, I ain't listening. Not today. Not tomorrow. No, thank you. Thanks a lot. And as you get older and more confident in who you are, you're just less likely to take people's junk. Like, I'm 46. I don't really care. Like, people come up to me and tell me something, I don't care. I don't like it that you wore jeans. I don't like it that your jeans are so big you could put the Smurfs in them. So what? That's your deal. Huh? I'm trying to stay up with style. I want you to wear a suit. I want you to wear jeans. Some guy told me Sunday, I was preaching in Florida, and he came in and said, I liked it today that you wore jeans. I hate it when you wear a suit. And I was like,
Okay. Now we know what you want because it's all about you.
Let me check your tithing record and see if you've given anything. Oh, wait a minute. You don't even belong to the church. What? Huh? I just want you guys to be clear how I think. You know what I mean? Because it wouldn't be fair if you thought that I thought I ought to make everybody happy. You can't make everybody happy. And you won't be happy trying to make everybody happy. Because I got half the crowd happy, half the crowd ain't happy. Half the crowd's happy 10 minutes from now, and half of them not. They're coming back. I'm getting back. Just get happy. Life's too short to be alone with negative thoughts. Life's too short not to take a shower for 21 days. I mean, 18 is marginal, right? I told Nicole at 15, that's your limit. We're almost done. Raise your hand if you're glad you came to church tonight. So, James 4:7. So be subject to God, not people. Wear jeans. Don't wear jeans. Why is it that way? Because I pray for you all the time. That's why. Be subject to God, not your thoughts. Be subject to God, not political correctness. Be subject to God, not the Republicans, not the Democrats. Be subject to God, not the economy. Be subject to God, not the ways of the world. Be subject to who?
God.
Resist the devil. Do what? So number one is what? Be subject to God. Number two is what? So number one's what? Number two is what? Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Didn't say he might. Said he will. I like that. He will. Do you know a lot of people's problems could be solved if they just stuck with something? People ask me, you know, how did you get such a big church? Stayed here the whole time. Why? How'd you stay married so long, Susie to Arden? She stayed with him. You just stick with it. People get a job, get on monster.com the next day to find another job. Just get a job. Be faithful. I'll leave that alone. People don't like that. Stand firm against him, and he will flee. Didn't say he might. Number one, we submit. Number two, we resist. Number one, we submit. Number two, we resist. Number one, we submit. Number two, we resist. Shout it again. What? Number one, we
submit.
Number two, we
resist.
So number one, you got to submit to God. What's that mean? Submit to God. I submit to God. What do you now? It means we go to church more than one time a week. We are the church. It means we submit to whatever God said. So we go to the books. Oh, yeah, if God said it, that's the way you got to do it. Doesn't mean you're going to do everything perfect, because I don't do everything perfect, but the one thing I do is submit to God, not to man. And then number two, I resist those negative thoughts. Resist fear. Resist depression. Said, I resist it. Just resist it. You ever picked up a little kid? Maybe you had a little child, and you picked them up, and they didn't want to leave the candy store, and they resisted you? Anybody ever seen a little kid? Ashton, she was real little. She'd be like, even our little dog, Luffy, she'll be like, her whole body, I'm like, it's like you got rheumatoid arthritis. You just resist it. That's what we do sometimes. I resist it. I don't like pastors saying that. I don't like it when they do. I don't like, it's resisting. You're resisting. Don't resist God. Just submit to him. Say, you know, I don't like the way you do it, but we just got to do it because you're God. And obviously, you've lived longer than me, and you probably know more than me, possibly. Sounds funny here, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound stupid? But how many would admit, like me, and say sometimes, you actually kind of think that way, even though you know that's stupid thinking, but you must think that way or you wouldn't act this way. I won't look. Let's try it again. Just let God see your apology. Merry Christmas, Jesus. I got them to apologize to you. Number one, submit. Number two, what? And then number three, if you do those two things, he will flee. So you take those negative thoughts. You grab them. The Bible says take captive the negative thoughts. You're not going to make it. You're not going to end strong. This is the last week of the year. Christmas, it's over. We can't sell anything. We can't do any business, he said. Resist that thought. Submit yourself to God. This could be, you could have a banner year in the last couple days. Well, I don't think we're going to get back together because she left. She could come back. He could come back. They said, doesn't matter what they said. What did he say? If you just do what's right because it's right and do it long enough, resist the devil. God heard you when you prayed. We read that, right? He heard him. He said, I heard you the day you prayed, but then I had this big clown in my way, and it took me 3 weeks to fight through this big devil. And then sometimes while I was trying to fight, I was trying to get your attention to tell you, why don't you come over here around this corner? But you were so busy going, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know if I can take this anymore. What in the world's going to happen to me? And you just freaked out. Stop doing that. Grab that thought and say, I'm taking it captive. I'm throwing it down. And I'll never be broke another day in my life. I'll never be depressed another day in my life. I'm going to sleep well. And if it doesn't get done today, oh well.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.